Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, watching the show. I double checked my hair this time. For those of you who watched the show, you notice I had the worst hair day ever. A piece of hair was like right down the center of my forehead and it made like a perfect pea swirl. So embarrassing. I'm so glad I'm married and don't have to worry about how I look anymore because my wife is stuck with me. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble trying to find a date when I have bad hair days like that. And, well, that has nothing to do with the show. But I just wanted you to know that I had a bad hair day yesterday, and I didn't even notice until the end of the show. And so a word of advice for you. If you are going to do a video podcast, triple check your hair, especially when there's no one behind the camera to check and to tell you when you need to fix your hair. It will save you a lot of embarrassment. Today, we are going to talk about the 5 a.m. pre-breakfast club. And you may be asking, why are you making all these puns with your titles all of a sudden? And the simple answer is, it's pretty fun for me. I don't know. I kind of have a terrible sense of humor. And I just think it's a good time. So you might be seeing a lot more play on words and puns and all that good stuff on titles. But before we get into the show, there's a few matters of business. One of them is an email from a listener, Anthony. You know who you are. Really appreciate your email. It gave me some pushback from my show yesterday. I told you I wanted it and I read it. I got back to him really quickly and I think he had some valid points. And so I'm gonna kind of tell you what those are so you get another side of the story. Like I said, I'm not an expert in this, the aerospace, the flight, just flying planes, all that stuff. Not an expert, big fan, actually kind of jealous. I'm not a pilot and like this guy is. But before we get even into that, we are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com or click the link below in the show notes and become a member. You get a really cool mug when you put HTBT in the memo field. You only get this cool mug if you put HTBT in the memo field. You can put anything you want in there, tea, water, sparkling water, whiskey if it's a tough day, whatever you want, it holds all of it. It's perfect. It's the perfect mug. It never leaks. It's 100% guaranteed not to leak. And satisfaction. I don't know why I'm making stupid jokes like that right now. I guess all these puns and stuff from the titles just got me in one of those weird moods. I apologize in advance. But when you become a member, that is no joke. You are coming alongside this network as we're rolling out new shows, have great content, and you get to be part of what the Lord is doing. And whenever you get to be part of what the Lord's doing, you are blessed. And it's one of the best feelings in the world, not only because of the feelings, but you should be doing it because it's the right thing to do. Pray about it and come alongside of us. Pray for us. We'd really appreciate that. If you want to reach out to me for anything, if you are just finishing up your business plan, because the business plan contest ends at the end of the month, March 31st, you got to get those business plans submitted to me where you can win a swag bag full of HTBT stuff and you get a free advertisement, that is an interview on this show where we're going to talk about your business plan and you're going to get to be talked about. You're going to be able to sell your business to thousands and thousands of people. Now, speaking of thousands and thousands of people, one of the great things about the show and talking to you is whenever I have a subject to talk about and I have a question, there's most likely somebody who knows the answer that is listening to the show. Or when I talk about a subject, there's most likely people that are authoritative figures that are listening and can give me valuable feedback, input, and let me know about things that I got wrong or wasn't sure about. And that was the case. At least they have a counter to what I was saying yesterday about Boeing and what should happen and what was going on with the mechanical issues. And I just thought since they were fair points that I would bring them up. If you haven't watched or listened to yesterday's show, actually don't watch it because you're going to see my bad hair day. Listen to the show and check it out. But Anthony, thank you. I really appreciate you reaching out to me and giving me some pushback. I really appreciate it. He's a mechanical engineer, so right off the bat, you know he's smarter than I am. And he's a licensed private pilot, like I said, really jealous. It's like one of the things I would love to do that I have not done yet. If there was a bucket list that I had, I don't have one. I really don't And maybe I should get one. I'm getting into the age, you know, mid-30s, where you start doing a bucket list to make sure you're checking off the things you want to do. But being a pilot would be one of them. And so he's like super qualified. And what he basically said is that this whole Boeing issue is not with Boeing, but it is ultimately a pilot training issue. And he says that the Boeing is not responsible for the training, but it's the airlines, which totally is probably true. I mean, he knows more about this industry than I do, I imagine, being a pilot and a mechanical engineer, and he works in that the space as well. He also said that Boeing is responsible for issuing the guidelines that the airlines use to train the pilots. And the concern is that they didn't give enough of that guidance to train the pilots. And he also said, I mentioned yesterday that I thought Boeing did know what the issue was because they were delaying the 777X. But he was saying that he's fairly certain it's not due to the issue. And he had some other points where he was saying that it's, you know, it's not unusual and this stuff happens all the time. There could be a number of reasons why. And then he said also the airplane itself is fine. It just needs some software updates. And I thought I said that on the show yesterday. So we agree on that point, Anthony. Nevertheless, I still believe that the Boeing needs to take steps to make sure that they don't get sued, to make sure that their image is preserved. And I think one of the ways that that's going to probably end up happening is the CEO needs to resign. Even if it is not 100% his fault, if they needed to provide guidance, I've still been reading things where it talks about how they were trying to keep up with Airbus and how the Airbus was able to put new engines on their existing planes. And Boeing kind of had to redesign their 737 to do that. And if any of that is true, then I think the thing that's going to need to happen is the CEO is going to have to resign or should resign and take some steps to mitigate the lawsuit potential and continue to get new orders. But that is neither here nor there. So if you, I don't know why I threw that in. I just really like that saying, that is here or there. And that is really important. So Anthony, thank you very much for listening. Yeah, thank you for listening. And thank you for sending me that pushback. And I hope the rest of you listening got to see yesterday's or listen to yesterday's show and can totally make sense of what we're talking about. All right, I want to get into, now, I labeled the show a pun, a play on words, 5 a.m. pre-breakfast club. But this is based off a book, The 5 a.m. Club. And it's something I can really relate to. And the whole gist of the book, I'll put the link to it on Amazon. You can pick it up if you want to give it a read. It talks about how successful people do end up doing extraordinary things, oftentimes wake up really early, around 5 a.m. And in the book, they use this fictitious story of this entrepreneur that's struggling, this artist that's frustrated, and this really successful billionaire who has the secrets and kind of lets them in on these secrets. And he says he's discovered that most people wait for extraordinary things to happen to them. But the successful people, the elite performers, are the ones who go out and make extraordinary things happen for them. Now, this book isn't a Christian book, but I love these books that are not Christian books because I like looking for the truths. And even though they explain them away through whatever means, humanism, evolution, whatever, you know, foundation that they have, I love taking those truths and fitting it to the Bible and applying it. And like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, God created us this way so that it makes sense that this would work and that this is a truth. And this is no doubt one of those books. And it basically is saying it is up to you to do extraordinary things for yourself. And it's very self-reflective. Obviously, they're very humanistic if that's like kind of the religion of the day, right? But I so too with Ephesians, you know, with God, I think as a Christian perspective, is God has prepared good things for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. And he wants us to do extraordinary things, not for ourselves, not to elevate ourselves, but because God will get the glory. And God gets the glory when amazing, extraordinary things happen in our lives where we can point to him. Otherwise, it's like, oh, that was just you that did it. But if you can do extraordinary things, then you have to give God the glory, right? Because there's no way you could do it on your own. So from a Christian perspective, I think it is true, not for yourself, not to self-gratify, not to puff yourself up, not to be the one worshiped, but God has created us to live a life of faith and to step into what God has called us to. And it's extraordinary things are going to happen. From the very foundations of just loving your family, raising your children, extraordinary things can happen in those relationships. And once you're faithful in those areas that God has provided you with to prove yourself, he's going to have you do greater and greater things. So getting back to the billionaire secret, and again, the whole premise is that you wake up early. And he says in the book that to generate the best results personally and professionally is to have a world-beating morning routine. And the book argues that when you get up at 5 a.m. or earlier, you are more creative, you have twice as much energy, and you have triple productivity. Now, I live in Hawaii, and I don't say that because I'm trying to make you jealous. Although, if you can live in Hawaii, you really should. It's amazing. It's like a stress-free living. Something about the air, the humidity, I don't know what it is, but it's just amazing living here. But because I live here, and why I bring this up, is I get up at 3:30 in the morning, and that's really early. I get up at 3:30 in the morning so I can be up with the stock market opening on East Coast time. Which is one of the downsides. I don't know if it's a downside, but I get up really early and I trade stocks for the first couple hours of the day. And let me tell you, when I'm up three or four hours before anyone else is up, I can get so much done. And a lot of what this book talks about, I can attest to as anecdotal proof that this is true for me as well. And he talks about how when you get up earlier, you're more creative, you have more energy, you're more productive. And the whole kind of premise of what the book is saying is that we have a limited cognitive bandwidth. And that is, as you go out through the day, like work's going to come up, news is going to come up, interactions, social media, a whole bunch of stuff is going to be taking up your mind. Your mind's going to be processing, interacting, and doing these things that is just taking up your bandwidth, and it's going to drain you. And by lunchtime, the book says, you really have a hard time concentrating. And I know this is true, or at least part of it is true, because when you have meetings in the morning, they seem to be a lot more productive than your afternoon meetings. For those of you who are in a lot of meetings, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, I just kicked my chair if you heard that. When you're in the afternoon and you have meetings, you'll start noticing people spacing out, not really participating. They're on their phone, they're checking emails, they're checking Facebook if it's up and not down. You just know it. That by the time it's the end of the day, you are just not as functional as you are in the morning. So that seems to be definitely true. And by shifting from multiple things, the book argues, and going back and forth from like social media to work, from project to project, you're not giving yourself enough attention to really master or really develop your thought process on the specific things that are important. And you're going back and forth and you're splitting up your time, you're multitasking, quote unquote, but you're not really taking the time to focus. And when you wake up early before anyone else, before there's distractions, you have the opportunity to focus on the few things that you need to focus. And one of the things they talk about, which is really interesting, I also looked it up in the book. I didn't know if this was like something they just made up in the book. But I saw it's a psychological term. It has to do with your brain functions called transient hypofrontality. Maybe I didn't even say that right. But transient hypofrontality. Basically, it's the idea of like what you get when you get a runner's high and the whole science behind that, which is really fascinating. I think the brain is one of the most fascinating things that God has created because it's so mysterious. We still don't know exactly how it works. So whenever you get a little insights into like how your brain remembers things and why when the things are repetitive, your brain remembers more, it like creates a stronger bond between your memory and other parts of your brain. It's so fascinating. And this is one of the things that was really fascinating too. I think the book would be worth it just for this, to kind of explaining like what a runner's high is and how you get it. But basically, it just, transient means temporary, the hypo means less, and the frontality refers to the frontal lobe of the brain. And the frontal lobe of the brain is where you have like sequential, orderly, you have systematic thinking, your decision making occurs up there. So a lot of your day is spent with a lot of activity up in the front of your brain. And it means under certain conditions, this transient hypofrontality, certain parts, the parts of the brain gets rest. Okay, so I'm gonna stop reading this because apparently I'm reading this completely wrong. So basically the idea is that you are able to have blood that like kind of goes to other parts of the brain and stimulates other parts of the brain, giving this part of your brain rest. And it allows other areas of your brain to be more predominant. And that allows you to have clearer thinking and to get those feelings and emotions, because your feelings aren't up there, and it allows you to get that the euphoric feeling of when you're working out and you hit that space where you are just having clear thought. And it kind of even goes into talking about how you start thinking differently when you're working out or when you hit this space. And the book argues that one of the things you should be doing in the morning when you wake up is having 20 minutes of exercise where you're making a sweat to kind of trigger that, where your blood is going to other parts of your brain, allows your brain to kind of have other areas be more predominant. And it was just really fascinating to learn about that, just of it by itself. And I can attest to it, again, because I do work out. I go running, play tennis, but it doesn't really happen that much as tennis. It happens more when you're running. You get that runner's high. You just start thinking through things clearer. You get ideas. You get epiphanies. I love praying when I'm running. I feel like God speaks to me more in that. And maybe it's just because, you know, God is able to use more of my brain and activate more of my brain. It's just so fascinating how God created our brains. But that is one of the points and one of the benefits of waking up early. You're able to kickstart your brain, get out and exercise, and then come back and focus on certain things that you find as priority. Simplify the things that you should be focusing on and just focus on them. And that is how you're going to be an achiever. And another point, because you're like, oh my gosh, 5 a.m. in the morning, that's really early. And I love this point. And it doesn't even really talk about it's more applicable than just waking up early. But it talks about the difference between the 95% and the 5%. Like, if you want to be part of the elite performers, the elite 5% that outperform the other 95%, then you're going to have to behave differently. You're going to have to act differently than the 95%. It just doesn't magically happen. And the book talks about relying on, you know, your personal gifts and just your natural abilities. But and they say it's better to persevere and to discipline yourself than to be naturally good at something. You'll be more successful if you can discipline yourself and just persevere, which I love that because, you know, that's biblical principles too. Perseverance and discipleship, disciplining yourself. These are all truths that just they don't get, and it just doesn't fit right in their worldview because they're taking it from ours. But nevertheless, back to what I'm saying, I love this point because if you want to be successful, you're going to have to be different than the 95%. And a lot of people are uncomfortable not being like everybody else. A lot of people are uncomfortable with not doing the same thing, spending the same time, watching the same shows, you know, being on social media as much as everybody else, taking as much pictures, going out to as many parties. If you want to be different from the 95%, if you want to be extraordinary, if you want to be the elite, if you want to rise above that other 95%, you're going to have to act differently. It doesn't just magically happen. And so that, again, and then that kind of leads into the self-discipline and the perseverance is really important. And that's important in so many areas. Whenever you want to find Taylor, if you want to improve, if you want to become an expert at something, it's going to require perseverance, getting through struggles, getting through obstacles, and it's going to take a lot of discipline. And then the last main point of the book is to focus and simplify and concentrate. And that's something that Americans have just a really hard time with, is taking a step back and finding time to just simplify and concentrate on what's important and take time to think, take time to pray, take time to know, focus and understand and learn what God has for you. It's going to be really important. And I love, like, just again, one of the great things about being a Christian and understanding God and how He's made us is God has created us for a purpose, and He's created us with the abilities to do it, natural abilities or supernatural through the Spirit. And it's going to be things that He's called us to where discipleship and perseverance are going to have its work. And it's going to bring us into what God has called us to do. And it's going to fit with where we are. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in God's plan for your life, you might persevere, you might have discipline, and you might never amount to anything because the universe is random to you and you don't know if there's going to be any benefit whatsoever. In fact, in the long run, there is no benefit. But because God exists and God is good, and like we said in Ephesians, that God has called us and prepared us for good works. If we are faithful, if we discipline ourselves, if we persevere, God is going to bring us and work through us and do extraordinary things so we can give him the glory. There's so much hope in being a Christian, and there's so much desperation, irrelevance. There's so much emptiness when you believe that there's nothing else besides us, that we were just a mistake. And I hope that is not you. I hope that you submit to God's plan for your life and truly find contentment and hope, and that you do become successful. With that, we'll talk to you next week. Hope you have a great weekend. I'm praying for you. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show, sharing the show with a friend, and we will talk to you Monday. God bless.